touchdown. The thing counts down, and then here we are. So,
is
Monday version of Circle Radio. Okay.
Do you want to open the show?
I already am. We're on the air.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Sorry. But...
Go ahead,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Anyway, I thought Sharon wanted me to open the show, so I am.
You know, this is why we're spiritual. This is one of the reasons, maybe. Oh, boy.
So, here we go. I think this will be a very deep, I know it will, show. And a meaningful show, I think, to many people. So, I hope more folks, there's a lot of folks starting to show up on the message stream, not too many on chat box yet. And, of course, we don't generally do a Monday show, so it'll take a little getting used to. It just seemed like we really needed to bring this one here today. Spirituality. And I'm not only hearing it from people I know here in the physical realm and the virtual, but I'm seeing people post things, pardon me, as well, about having lost their spirituality. Or what's wrong with their spirituality? Did someone turn it off? Did somebody turn down the heat? Kinds of, some of them try to say it like it's funny. They're upset. And Sue is going to try to call in today, or at least listen. I think she was going to try to call in. Oh, she is there. Good. But she's also had these feelings, and a lot of others around me having these feelings. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with any of this. But we really want to talk about this, losing your spirituality. How did it happen? Is it permanent? Will you ever be spiritual again? Was I spiritual to begin with? Or was I kidding myself? All these questions that go through. And to me, there's one answer to all of that, but I won't give it right away. I'm going to shift it over to Sharon.
I was just telling Jim before we started this show that it's probably the show, I mean, looking back at all the shows that we did, even the ones that I, that I wasn't a host and I was a guest, I was thinking, what was the show or shows, what were the shows that, that made me nervous? And I thought of maybe one or two, maybe in the beginning, when my English was, not that great, but I think that's probably the show when I'm most nervous about, because it seems like there's a lot going on, not just for me personally, but like everywhere. And when you see someone that keep asking himself or herself about his own spirituality, there are a lot of doubts coming up, and it's not making you feel better or worse. It's really something that you really can describe, or at least that's what I feel personally. So I think that for me, this is one of the shows that I might listen at least, one more time, maybe more. But that's a brilliant show. And I'd like to thank Jim for writing the description. It's really brilliant. If you want to join us during the show, call us. That's okay. I mean, we welcome you. Please do that. And before that, just let us know either to Jim or myself. We're here and sometimes on Facebook, so you can always let us know. If you haven't visited our website, it is www.sotem.org. you can check that out, and I think it'll be great. I think we can start. Maybe, Jim, should I bring Sue right now? I think it'll be great.
Sure.
All right. Okay. So, hey, Sue, you're up.
I'm up. Okay. I am. I am in Schenectady, New York right now. There's a thunderstorm coming, and there's a beautiful little place, a little sanctuary right next to where my dad is in the nursing home, because I'm here visiting him. And I'd love to be out in the middle of this, but it's probably not a good thing in a thunderstorm. And I'm really excited about this show because, boy, you know, I've felt very alone for a while this summer and really confused and wondering what was going on within me and my spirituality. And I think this is going to be good and will bring a lot of things to air. And I'll speak a little bit about my feelings a little later. Talking stick is to you, Jim.
My turn? Okay. So, to really get this thing rolling, Bill has asked me this about losing her spirituality. Sharon has asked this. A lot of you have asked this. I never really asked myself that. I questioned whether I had much spirituality early on when I worked with my teachers. Once I got through that, I understood exactly what I'm going to share now because I truly believe it and I've seen it in everything I do. The answer to how did I lose my spirituality? Is it permanent? Can I ever get it back again? Did I ever really have it? Is that none of those questions are truly pertinent because you cannot lose your spirituality. I think we all have the level of spirituality. Some of us consciously decide, develop it more than others. But you cannot lose it. Now, you can suppress it if things happen, if you're doubtful, if you get fearful, if you're not sure you're going to step up onto the road that's before you spiritually. Your brain can get in the way of your heart. And, of course, your heart is where your spirituality comes from. And you can feel like you've lost your spirituality. You can feel like it has no power anymore. That's not true. So to me, the more valid question is, how can I face or deal with whatever blocks are there, whether it's your brain or something you're worried about or just your own self-doubts? You step back into your spirituality. So I'm going to try to focus on that as best I can during this show, and other people can bring up other elements of it.
Was that thunder? I mean...
It sure was.
Oh, my God. So, well, apparently we have... it sounds like we have like a special guest on the show, Thunder. I mean, that's amazing. I love, you know, how things work like that. We hear again the thunder, and we talk like on something so meaningful and so, you know, like really important. Critical, and a lot of I don't know, and again it's great just to hear you know that somebody's listening, and we have like answers, and the answers come in thunders and such. I don't know exactly. I usually know what to say in most of the shows. This show, I'm not sure what to say because I do feel that, you know, my spirituality was kind of like
I'm, you know, at stake here, and nothing. I don't know. I felt very doubtful. I still do. And when you feel doubt, it's probably the lack of spirituality, or at least that's what I thought. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. But that's, you know, that's a fact. That's what I felt anyway. And I continue to blame myself for things that I've done, or things that I, you know, that I did not do, and I missed my doors and such. So this kind of like, this show is, I'm not sure if I'm going to be a host this show or a listener. I'm not sure yet. I don't know, but it seems like, this is one of those shows that I'm not sure what to say. You know, those are interesting shows, but yeah, a lot is going on. There's a question here from Rebecca. She asked, how do you recognize spirituality? So talking sick to you, Sue, maybe you know how to answer that.
You know, when I'm walking in a state of grace, when I can really put myself and see everything around me, and start noticing everything around me, and especially in the natural world, when I'm out of that mode, everything is kind of bleak and fuzzy and not clear, and I just I feel very alone and disconnected. I'll pass the stick to you, Jim.
Couldn't find the microphone. There. More and more people are starting to come in. Running Elk just said there is 13 people with him today. So I just said, because Rebecca asked, how do you recognize spirituality? I said it has one head, many arms, at least two legs, may have wings, and always, always a large, large heart. Spirituality comes through the heart, never, ever through the head. So it's not so much worrying about recognizing what it looks like, Rebecca, it's recognizing what does it feel like. And that's the heart piece of it. And everyone's responding to what Roger said is, it can't be searched for or pursued. All it really requires is recognition. Yeah, recognize it with your heart. Absolutely right. Feel it, and then start using it. And don't expect any one thing, because spirituality comes in so many forms. You have your, I hate to use terms that judge things, but you have your phony spirituality. And we've all seen this, you know, send me $500 and I will heal the warts on your nose, whatever. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the spirituality within. Spirituality you use, spirituality that is part of you, the spirituality that lets you become what you're meant to become in any particular walk, certainly in this life walk right now. We're all here. We all signed our contracts, this time more than ever before. There's intense things we're all meant to do, and some have become doubtful or fearful. We're wondering, boy, why do I want to do that? Maybe I ought to just sit back with my feet up and sit this one out. And, of course, all these things are choices, because we do have free will. Even if we signed a contract, we can back out of our contract. Now, I don't know if we have to give away our advance when we get back to the spirit realm. I don't know. And, of course, I'm kidding about that. But, yeah, I mean, there's reasons why we're here. And the spirituality is what we need. If you have a high level of spirituality, you do know it in your heart. When the brain gets in the way, it's very difficult to tap into that heart. And so, let's see, Sharon was sitting back. there for a bit and stumbling a little bit on what to say. So I will ask Sharon a question. Sharon, what made you think you lost your spirituality, and where did that feeling come from, and what was that feeling? Good luck with that.
Wait. Oh, my God. Okay. Ask me the first question, because I'm not sure that I will be able to answer all of them. Like, please, ask the first one.
What makes you think that you lost your spirituality? What did it feel like, or what does it feel like, and where is it coming from?
What made me feel that I lost my spirituality is probably the fact that I'll answer to it like that. I feel like I am much less in focus than I used to be, than I know I can be. I feel less aware of myself, less connected, kind of like really scattered and all over the place. I feel physically like, for me, like there is a huge pain and huge pressure, around the chest and heart area. My emotions are kind of like all over the place, because in one moment I'm really angry, and in the other moment I'm like super happy or smiling, and I know that inside I'm not. Like, there is like a serious gap in between what I feel and what I am, for the moment. I think that I really don't know what made me feel like that, how it happened. I know that, well, you told me, Jim, that it is my brain, that I'm too much in my brain, and the brain is kind of like a wall, and you can't see beyond those walls. And those walls I built because I was scared, with kind of like walls of defense. Even now, I feel like I'm not, you know, like I'm ready and not ready at the same time. I feel like I am torn inside, and I have like a lot of personalities in me. And I didn't feel like this before, but this is probably, I would call it a crisis in my life. Because I don't know what am I supposed to feel in some scenarios. I know what I'm supposed to feel, but I don't know how to feel it. But I feel like I pushed myself maybe too much. And it's really hard. I'm sorry. It's really hard to face that mirror of maybe I lost the only thing that really was the only joy in my life, and the only thing that I was, you know, that was the center of my life, and I can't really wrap my thoughts around that, because it's really that big. I feel like it's bigger than me sometimes, and you feel caged and stuff. So I hope it answered your question or questions. I'm not sure. Talking sick in the middle. And I think that Sue is on the, yeah, okay. Sue?
Yeah, I had gotten bleeped out there for a little bit, so I missed part of what you were saying. I didn't know if Jim wanted to say anything, and then I'll share what I was feeling.
Sure. Sharon, at one point she said, well, Jim says, I got into my head, and I have said that. But that doesn't matter. It matters what each of us feels when we feel like our spirituality has deserted us or let us down, or for some reason we can't access it the way we want anymore. And that's really about getting back into your heart. And that's funny because it's already starting to come up here. I'll read a few of these because they might help when Sue goes to speak. And part of me feels bad because Sharon got emotional about that, but part of me feels good because that means her heart's talking, and that's where we have to seek the answers. Ronnie Elk says, Grandfather Alvin is here again. He says, to say a ho to you, Jim. You're very bad. No be lost, only push deep. The medicine is to allow it to come up. And Running Elk says, Sharon is your twin, Jim. Tell her she's ready again. And Grandmother Beth with Running Elk says, to tell Sue she's a grandmother of spirit. Age is no matter. Tell her there's none to fear. She can speak up now. And so Running Elk and his group seem to be dying right into your illustrious, sometimes underserved here today. So let's turn it over to Sue a minute.
Well, those words of Ronnie Nelk's group, I can't remember her name right at the moment, it kind of brought tears to my eyes and a little jolt to my heart, because it, you know, when I started this path several years ago, I had this amazing dream one night. This beautiful Native woman came to me, and she had a staff in her hand, and she walked right up to me and said, you have 1 foot, you know, on the path, and the other, and, you know, I remember, that's all I remember of the dream, and that always stayed with me, because it's really hard walking the spiritual path when you've got all this other stuff that our world requires us to do right now. And until all that changes, you know, it's so hard. And so I was walking in two worlds. And when I finally went through the golden door about, gosh, now, how many years? 7 years ago now? And made that leap to really start following, you know, my spirituality and my path and what I really felt strong about. And I remember just how I felt, all the amazing things, that synchronicities and everything that happened to me. And it was just one after another, and it was just, you know, amazing dreams and amazing connections. And then there came a time when life took over again. You know, the stress of worrying about money and the stress of just daily living. So I was flowing in and out, and it was really hard. And this year, especially after you know, the loss of my mother last year and my father collapsing and financial, and, you know, it was just one thing on top of another, and I felt myself just teetering and having a hard time even connecting and praying. And it was like, okay, I'm here, I'm being quiet, I'm just sitting here next to the river, and I just, nothing's happening, and I just felt like I had lost what I had gained and worked so hard for, not realizing that I hadn't really lost it. It was just temporarily depressed because I was too much in my head and not in my heart, like I want to spend most of my time in my heart. And I remember, this shift that occurred to get me out of this funk I was in, I was able to go down by the river where we live, Grandmother Tree. It was a place I sat before actually last fall before the weather changed and turned. And the river got really high because the river kind of buried my little seating spot where I could lean up against her. And I'm sitting there and I'm praying and just connecting and asking and wanting some kind of answer, something to help me, you know, to help me realize what was going on in this stupor I've been in. And this was in the morning. This little bat came out right in front of my face, turned and looked at me, and then flew back. And I was just like, okay. So I went inside and I read, I think it was, oh, I can't remember which book that is, Jim. You probably can remind me of it, about that. And it was a message that I needed, because I was in this world of worrying about everything that was going on around me, and so stressed out and so tired from this job I've been doing, and everything going on with that. I'm worrying about this and that. The bat really reminded me that I was focusing too much on this material world, and it brought me back to reality. I can't remember what words were said, and I think Jing could probably grab the book. It's upstairs next to the table, and read about that. But it helped me so much, and it was what I needed to hear. And you know, I talk much about spirit guiding us, and I believe I just was not ready to really listen, and my heart must have opened up that morning for that bat to be able to send me this message. And it was just very powerful. But it's so easy for us to get wrapped up in worrying about everything, instead of allowing and trusting and having faith that everything will happen, and it's going to happen for a reason, and allowing the good to come into your life. And unless you're in that place of that open heart and allowing that goodness to come in, you're going to walk in this crazy roller coaster ride of feelings, and it's really powerful when you can step through that and keep that balance, and allow yourself to enjoy this beautiful world we have and everything around us, because that's what's real. What's real is nature, everything about her, the animals, you know, the tall ones, the rock, yeah, I mean, everything. That's what's real. Everything else is just an illusion we created to you know, it's our world we live in right now, and it's not, you know.
And so let me bring in some other.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's really good. Let me bring in some others, because it works in that same vein. So
okay.
Frank Littlefeathers is here.
Thanks.
And I think new. Wow, and we got people showing up as well. Before I read this, there's people showing up on the phones as well. If you wish to speak on the phone, always, folks, you need to tell us on the message board or the chat line first and what you'd like to talk about. Because we have a lot of people call in, and we don't want to just jump around and then they say, I don't want to talk. All right, so Frank Littlefeathers. I'm from the Wyatt on the coast. That's the Wyatt Nation on the west coast of America, Northern California, at least the ones, the Wyatt people that I know. If you can question if you lost your spiritual nature, you have a strong spirit. Those who have really blocked their spiritual person would never even ask. They would not see, and so they do not suffer that they cannot use it. This is a blessing. The old ones will show how to use it if you feel it is weakened, meaning your spirituality. That is really intense, and I think we'll let's pass that one to Sharon first.
Wow. And this show makes me feel speechless so far. And that's not good because I'm one of the hosts. But I'll try to get over it and allow my heart to speak, to feel what she said, Frank Little Feathers. And thank you so much for saying that. I never thought of that latest before. I never felt before that I was losing my spirituality until, like, I don't know, recently it came to my awareness. But I know that the process of whatever, you know, all the process until I got to realize that I was losing my spirituality, or maybe I was losing my spirituality, doubtful anyway. A lot of things have been going on in the past months for me. And I'm not the only one, so it's not like an answer for me personally, but I feel like what you're saying, Frank Little Feather said, that when we question our true nature, spirituality, emotionally, maybe we're not as strong as we think, or maybe, no, I'm sorry, we are strong as we think, or maybe we're not aware of how strong we are. And maybe you're right. I hope that you're right. Because I feel like I'm not connected to myself, losing the spirituality piece. I know that maybe I've heard myself further and actually made myself to believe that I'm really losing my spirituality and it's gone, and I missed my chance and it's all gone and I can't really, I felt like I was, you know, that I needed to start a new life that has nothing to do with spirituality, and it's not, I know it's not who I am. So I still feel the effects, the painful effects of, you know, even considering starting a new life without spirituality. But maybe there's something in what you're saying that is true, and I hope it is, because I think, you know, there's one thing to live a life full of doubts, and there is a hidden agenda in all of that, or to be humble. But I think that it is really good to a person to look in the mirror, no matter what, even, you know, even for a person that is always doubtful about his own actions, to always look inside, always use a mirror, to check what's going on inside, to check our surroundings, our energy. I think one of the things that that bother me when it comes to that feeling of losing the spirituality piece is the lack of focus. It's really hard to sleep. It's really hard to meditate. It's really hard to just sit still. Maybe you're right. Maybe, again, I hope that you're right. I don't know what else to say about that, but thank you so much for sharing. I mean, it's really, really, really important for me to hear that. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one. So thank you. Talk to Sikas in the middle. Jim?
Sending the message. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember just, I was chatting with Rhonda and Sandra, and I had brought that same thing up. What are other people feeling who are not walking any kind of spirituality? And that was really powerful to hear that, because you know, that was a question that it's been my psyche, and it really helped a lot to understand that. Thank you, Little Feather. Talking Stick is to you, Jim.
Okay. Wow, this is really good. So, Running Elk came on and said, "Whoopala Frank, this is very good. If you question if something is wrong with your spiritual parts, then nothing is wrong. You're just not allowing it to flow out. Thank you." And Frank Littlefeather said, "Head fear is very hard to stop." So let me take off on that for a bit. Head fear is the hardest thing to stop. And it leads to so many other things because, again, and we've said this in other shows, our brain is there from the beginning to protect us as living, breathing creatures. It's there to protect the package we're in, not our spirit. Because our spirit is eternal. And so when that brain starts to go a little wacky on us, and getting more and more spiritual can do that, because it senses a threat. It senses, this package that I'm in, it's going to get more and more spiritual. That stuff is really out there. What's it going to do with all this energy? And so it starts to block for you. It starts to push you back. I know for me, I was really hard-pressed years ago. You know, what am I doing all this for? Why don't I just sit back, put my feet up, have fun, go to my job, go out and have some vacations, go home at night and watch a ball game, go to bed, get up the next day. But that's not living my road. And thank goodness I didn't do that, because I would not have felt fulfilled. There's nothing wrong with that. Many people do it. But it wouldn't have been what I am, and a lot of what I've experienced would have never happened. So when this brain starts doing that, we need to get into the heart to counterbalance that. As Rebecca is saying, if we are not in balance in all areas of our life, then burnout can happen, and we need to care for and feed and nurture each piece. One part affects the other parts. Absolutely. And we've done great shows, I think, on that. Mind, body, spirit, emotions, sexuality, dreams, and then the big one, the big enchilada, the unity piece, all of it together. And that's what I think a lot of us are working on now. But if any of those get out of balance or they're not being allowed to flow, as Running Elk said, it affects the whole package. And so then we start with things like panic, anxiety, not being able to sleep, as I think Sharon was saying, or Sue was, I'm not sure. All kinds of things begin to happen. It's really hard, I have found, if you are spiritual and you're becoming more spiritual and you're learning your spiritual abilities and you're using your spiritual powers in the light and you're working with folks on those sorts of things, it's really difficult to start blocking. And these other things start happening. Because, you know, the old saying, you can never go home again. You can't go back to what you were before because you're not that anymore. You can go back and try to live that life, but you won't feel fulfilled, and then boom, all this other stuff starts happening. So a lot of people we see get extremely physically ill even by blocking this sort of thing. There's people who say by blocking what you truly are, you can create within yourself a lot of the diseases like cancer and other major diseases. I'm not any specialist in that, but I've certainly heard those who know a lot more about that than I do claim that that's the case. So the big question is, how do we get back into the heart to deal with what's going on and decide what am I supposed to be doing, and you know, and how do I do it? And it's never going to be perfect. You know, you heard what Sue said. She went through the door, she started living her way, but living with her energy, But for her, it was voice. Still very hard to speak. That's gotten much, much, much better. But she managed to step into that spiritual energy. And then it takes more time. You're always going to be developing it. There's not a day I don't wake up that I don't work on my spirituality somehow. Often it's through mistakes, and that's okay, too. That's a great teacher. So great comments being made here by everyone. And I see also, I'll throw this out, and then I guess I'll pass it to, I guess, Sharon's next. Where is it here? Roger said something about, I liked it, kind of put it in perspective. Where did it go? Probably earlier than I have left. Anyway, we were talking about recognizing spirituality, and he said something like, well, how do you recognize love? Or how do you recognize joy? How do you recognize any of those things? How do you recognize that any piece of you maybe is out of balance and needs to be loved and nurtured, as Rebecca said? Wow, great stuff here. So I passed Sharon a whole box of Kleenex. I might need a couple of them myself between her and Sue here. So let's pass that part on to Sharon.
Thanks, even for the box. great comments, great messages from all of you. I think Frank Littlefeder said here, had fear is very hard to stop. And yeah, I mean, we have no idea until we realize what is going on. And I think, I think one of the most painful things is to actually to know what's going on with you, but it's not the hard part. I think the hard part is when you're not aware of what's going on inside of you. You're not aware that there are some parts inside of you that are completely out of balance, and you're kind of like you try to cover the fear and the pain, and you don't want to deal with that because you prefer to be happy and to do something else and kind of like to have that momentarily situations of joy and smiling and also sort of kind of like positive energy, even if it is momentarily, and even if it is not from your heart. So the brain kind of like it brings up a lot of false feelings that that they are really like they say only for a limited time and they're not from a real place. But I think that our brains are the brain is kind of like programmed to be able to give answers even if those answers are are like putting a band-aid, like a small band-aid on a large wound. It's nice, but it's not effective. I think the painful part is to be able to bring to recognize love, like Roger asked, to recognize someone's appreciate you and is worried about you, and you always think that there's someone who wants to hurt you and to make you feel bad and to make himself or herself to feel better. You feel like everything that you did so far was wrong. So you question yourself even more, and from the wrong motives. I mean, I feel basically. But I know that looking back, I worked on my spirituality very intensively. Especially in the past 3 years with Jim and with Sue, I never stopped for a second to rest, to enjoy those fruits, and I kept pushing myself until I wasn't able to move forward anymore, and I feel like I'm stuck. But I guess that this show is kind of like a huge mirror for all of us, and a great medicine for us to work with. How do you recognize love? It's really hard when you can't feel the love that you have towards yourself, or the trust, or anything like that. You always feel something, and even if it's painful, and for me it is at the moment, I feel that, you know, I still can recognize this as love. Even if it has a lot of other element that make it feel really painful. There is a question here from Jonathan that I'll pass to talk in a sec. Jonathan asked, some people think only certain people can be spiritual. Do you think that is so? I'll pass the talking stick to you guys, to Sue, maybe to Jim, if you guys want to. It's yours.
Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, I thought you were going to take it. No, of course not. It is not restricted to any one type of people. And, you know, I've seen and heard this from people of all the four colors. I've seen red people who say, well, that person can't be a medicine person because they're not red. Only red people can be, or black, or yellow, or white. That is nonsense. Spirituality doesn't look at the outside of the package. Spirituality is spirituality. It's what's inside. Once again, as Two Bears always told me, it doesn't matter worth a darn what color it paints on the outside. So no, Jonathan, it is not restricted to any particular person or group of people, nor anything else. That said, actually, I think I will coin a new frame, a new word for that, a new expression. Let's call that spiritual racism, because that's what it is. Now, there are people, because of their culture, who may develop their spirituality quicker or deeper or on a continuing basis, because a lot of indigenous people are very much closer, as Sue was saying earlier, to nature, to the Earth Mother, to other people, to other creatures, to all those elements that are such a huge part of spirituality. And so in that sense, this is why some teachers find us. And Jonathan put something up there earlier about having felt bad because, and I was chatting with him on this on the side as other things were going on, thinking that he was talking about the Aborigine people, actually, of, I forget what he calls them, outback people, whatever, thinking that they were less than because they kind of live out there in nature, you know, on, you know, the idea of what an indigenous person would be that would probably come into your mind. And then began working with a couple of teachers and realized just how much they had. We learn. And as we become spiritual, we learn more and more. But Takwio, I see we are all one. It's everything. It's us, it's creatures, it's animals, it's rocks, it's trees, on and on and on and on and on. Spirituality is in everything. And so here as well, I'll knock out a couple other things. Running Elk has been putting Sharon, relax, sit at fire, love Sharon, and you will move forward with the spiritual work you are to.
Thank you.
And that was his advice to you. And then he also shared that you're lucky because you have me as a spirit twin. I'm not so sure about that part. Anyway, there it is. Roger's saying, good question, Jonathan. I think everyone's spiritual, but it's only certain people who allow their spirituality to show. Oh, there's another great point. A lot of people are so embarrassed. The show I did yesterday with Rod, which, by the way, I thought was a great show, and thank all of you who were on there because you had great comments and questions. We talked about this a little bit, especially for men. Showing spirituality is showing your heart and your emotions because spirituality comes from the heart. And so for some, it's very difficult to do. So while Sharon's kind of hung up thinking she's lost her spirituality, Sue was thinking hers had, I don't know what, you know, jumped into a hole and hit it. For others, it's like, oh my God, it's in there, but I can't show it. How can I hide it? And that's a separate question, but another really good one. Roger says only certain people are comfortable with their spirituality, much like their sensitivities. Again, because to me, they're one. They are connected. If you're spiritual, you are emotional, you live in your heart. It doesn't mean you don't use your head. Of course you do. But you lead from the heart when you work on spiritual things. So as you're working to recapture or recharge or whatever else your spirituality, you've got to do it through the heart. You cannot go in through the head. You won't get there. But over to you, Sharon.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you, Ron and Gilk. I appreciate your wisdom. And I'll definitely work on relaxing and sitting by the fire and love myself and be able to kind of like to burn what it is that I don't need to fly and rise from the ashes of the past, of all the things that all the doubts and all of that. So thank you for that. I really like what Jonathan asked about do we think that that only certain people can be spiritual. I don't think it has anything to do with race, color, or gender, and stuff like that. I know that in some religions there is a connection, and I strongly disagree. I think men and women are equal. It can be equally spiritual. I don't think it has something to do with that. I do think that in order to be spiritual, you really have to expose yourself and be vulnerable and. And it's for some people, they think that, you know, exposing themselves like that and be vulnerable like that mean that they will have like they'll be in a place of disadvantage and weakness. And that's what they think. Maybe sometimes it is true for, you know, it depends on the perspective. But I do think that there are not a lot of spiritual people that can really expose themselves. I call them like the real spiritual people, because I know that there are a lot of people that can call themselves and label themselves as spiritual people because what if, you know, if they do like Reiki or do this guided healing or other type of guided healing or meditation or even religion, religious stuff. But I think the most spiritual people, you know, they need to be able to really open up and no matter how much they're doubtful about themselves, to always stay open. So I think it's kind of like it is dependent on that part. So I think I agree with you, Roger, about that. It's kind of like to be spiritual, it's not being a comfortable position. It's not being comfortable always, never. At least that's what I went through. So maybe I'm wrong about that, but it's always to be able to learn more, to appreciate more, in a very uncomfortable position, and to always challenge yourself, or at least to do your best to trust and surrender in the process, even though you don't really understand what's going on at the moment, to accept things as they are. And it's really, it's easy to say, but it's really hard to do. Talking Sick is in the middle. Mm-hmm.
No, as you're speaking, I was thinking, I remember now what Bat told me that was so powerful for me. I was in two worlds. I was in my spiritual world, one foot, and this crazy, crazy world and the other, and it was tearing me pretty much apart. But what I realized was that I want to be and need to be in the spiritual world, because that's who I am. This other world, this job that I have, that's what it is. It's just a job. You know, it's bringing what I need to bring in order to live at this time, because, you know, the times are what they are right now, and there's nothing any of us can do to change that other than being, you know, it will happen. Things are changing. But I really, really had to really understand where I really, truly wanted to be. And that just opened my heart once again, which I felt was really, really closed. I could see beauty around me. I could see a beautiful bird. I would smile. I could see a deer. I would smile. But I was not feeling. I was not feeling that. And when you have that in your heart, when you feel that, and you know what it feels like when you love something, when you love someone, you feel it, not just see it. That's what was missing so much while I was going through all this. And I so badly wanted that back in my life again. And that's, once again, that's that heart. That's that heart. And more often than not, my heart. My heart has been in lockdown more often than not my whole life. And I'm so tired of it. So sick and tired of it. Because that is not who I am. And it was just, it can be so automatic. It doesn't take much to shut my heart down. And I just can't, I can't go there anymore. So everything that I'm seeing and feeling, this is allowing my voice to open up. And there are certain things that I'm not going to put up with anymore in my life, because I do not deserve it. And I understand that now. So it was such an awakening for me, and so powerful for me to have that moment in time with that bat. And then later on the other day, a little moth landed on my finger right in front of my nose. And it's like, there, okay, there. That's what's real. That's what the world is all about. It's that heart connection to everything we have around us. And it's very powerful. And I'm grateful for everyone in our circle. And
so
much
we better
love and light
have
to everyone.
We better have people start sending extra Kleenex. We're going to run out. And Janie said we need a group hug. I think you're right. I thought
yes.
This might be an emotional show, because again, spirituality is about emotion. And others are saying on the message board that they're also feeling extremely emotional right now and asking what that's about. It's about this whole topic. It's about everything going on about us. It's about the fact that this circle or circles we've evolved in a lot of ways, and certainly with these radio shows, is we are connecting, and we're connecting in a big way. So if you're feeling that out there, folks, let it come if you possibly can. Don't block it. Don't stop it. It's okay. If you're a man, it's manly to be able to feel emotion or cry, guys. Trust me. And, you know, I saw a little while ago, I'll throw some others out here, too. Maybe we'll get the tears flowing more. Susan, this is Susan from Great Britain, said she's late here. This is very good information. We Brits are supposed to have not much emotion, so I thought I'd never be spiritual. I was wrong, so glad. And Roger said, good observation. I, too, was raised stiff upper-lipped British. That's a label that didn't fit. So yeah, there's nothing to stop anyone from developing their spirituality. When I grew up, I thought religion and spirituality were the same thing. Ooh, what a mistake that was. And it wasn't until I got out of religion, and then I floated for a long time with neither, that I realized what spirituality was, and it's freedom, and it's ease, and it's heart, and it's emotions. And so that's why it's really important to develop right now. And you know, you're hearing what Sue is saying, and obviously emotional about it. She's not going to go back or even try to go back to that way she was. In reality, she can't. And that's part of what Sharon's experiencing right now as well. You can try to walk the walk. You can try to function the way you did. But it will tear you apart. You cannot live in two places at once, or three, or four, as others have done. You've got to get into that heart and decide what's going on, where do I really want to live, and then step. You can't sit around waiting forever. It's that action piece, too. So I'm glad this is triggering a lot of stuff. Roger says, I don't know if the tears in my eyes are from my own or from Sue and Sharon. And yeah, great comment. You know what? Doesn't matter, as Roger well knows. I think we all have some tears in our eyes right now. I was going to blame the sun, but it's not out. It's cloudy, because I can't even do that. Janie says...
So maybe because of the clouds you're crying.
Maybe. Janie says, me too, Roger. And Running Elk says, there's a lot of tears up here in the group right now. So, here we go, folks. Yeah, we're
great show, guys.
Right, we're having a tear-a-thon. Yeah, I'm really glad I wrote this up now. See if there's anything else to bring in here. Oh, yeah, here you go. And then I'll shift it over to Sharon. If we're going to go over a little bit, that's okay. Francis said, I can't remember where Francis is from. It doesn't matter. Hi, Francis. I think I'm spiritual and have spiritual things to do with groups. What do I do? How do I begin? How do I find a teacher? Roger said at one point that just by being here, you've already started. And that's true, but there are, you know, what do you do? How do you begin? How do you find a teacher? Go ahead, Sharon.
Ooh, you look at the yellow pages. No, I'm kidding. this is the moment at the radio show that I'm getting a lot of humor inside, I guess. Well, first of all, yeah, I totally agreed with Roger. I think just by being here, it says a lot about your curiosity, Francis. To start your word like you started, I think I am spiritual. You either you know you are, or you're not aware of that at the moment, which is, you know, no answer is wrong or right, but you need to know you're spiritual, just like you know that you're a human being, just like you know that you breathe oxygen and you can drink water and you have 2 feet that you walk with and stuff like that. It's knowing, which I kind of like, I'm listening to what I'm saying right now and I can't believe what I'm saying. I mean, I can, but I can't believe that I'm in this situation right now when I question my own spirituality and I give advices. So yeah, I think again, so surreal. If you know that you, and you're saying, I think I'm spiritual and have spiritual things to do with the groups, there is a part of you that knows that, but you're still not completely there. I think you know, I always believe that the teacher comes when the student is prepared, when the student is ready. I think that's looking at, you know, Jim and myself at the moment. I practice a lot of spirituality all these years, but only 3 years ago, I really got to know Jim, And he's my primary teacher. So I think for me, it's kind of like, and maybe I'm not the only one. There's a process that you need to go through, Francis, that it takes a while. There is no, like, you will know what is that process, or maybe at, you will know when you need a teacher. But I don't think that right now a teacher can help you to gather all the pieces inside of you that you need to gather, and to bring everything into, you know, into one heartbeat and one one place. Again, your curiosity, your spirit will lead you to wherever you want to go and wherever you need to go, even if it is against your mind, which was for me, by the way, and it is sometimes. So there's nothing specific that you need to do, at least not consciously, but you can, what you can do, by the way, is to go out and walk in nature, kind of like try to clear your mind. Not using your mind will be a great start if you want to start the spiritual road, which I know that started like for you a long time ago, but right now you're getting more and more into it. Or that's what I feel. I might be wrong, Francis, so no guarantees about that. But when it comes to finding a teacher, you need to work on yourself first, and a teacher will come to you. Either in dream time, either physically, either in many, many ways. For me, it was first of all spiritually, and then spiritually, of course, spiritually. But for me, it was dream time first, and then it rolled up to be virtual, and so forth and so on. But it's a really good question. So thank you so much for asking. And I see that everybody is crying. So I'm sorry about that. Please don't cry. I feel so bad now that you're all crying. All right.
You started it, Sharon. You started it.
Apparently, yeah. If you guys wanted to make me feel bad, thank you. You just did. You just did. Yeah.
Oh man. You know, I just want to say, you know, just play. Just start doing things. Just if you're, you know, creative part, bring that out. Just dabble in this and that and everything else, and you'll find your way. You'll connect to the right people. You'll connect to the right things for you. Just allow yourself to be open and receptive, and just true to who you are. Sounds like a show. We did. The song I wrote too. But you know, it's just stay connected and connect once again to those people who make you feel good. And you know, do what you have to in your other world, because I know sometimes that's really difficult. But connect as best you can to those that are like-minded and can help you along your path. And I'm going to have to scoot now, and I'm very glad I was here, and thank you all. Much love and light, and we'll talk to you all again soon. Take care, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So give your dad a hug when you get back there. Boy, stuff keeps coming up. I think we could go on with this all day. We may go on with this until Sunday. Roger had said, we must be open to our teachers. Listen with the heart more so than the ears. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And even... Well, I guess with that, we have to completely trust our teachers when we're working on spiritual things. If you don't have complete trust in the teachers you have, then you need other teachers to appear to you. It's really important. That doesn't mean you don't have doubts of yourself at times, or you fear something, or I used to constantly feel that I was not good enough to do the things that I try to do now. That's different. I completely trusted my biggest teachers. Two Bears I had 100% trust in. Glad he never told me to go jump off a mountain, because I may have done it, and that might have been to my detriment. But the point is, that's why I trusted him, because he would never ask me to do something he didn't feel I was ready to do. Doesn't mean he was always right, but I knew he had my best interest. And so I always listened to him once I got to that point with my heart more than my ears. That's a great teaching. All right, I don't know what to do with this one, but I guess I'll read it because he wanted me to. Running Elk said, I've seen Jim speaking on the Facebook about things that affect spiritual ones. I think he wants to trigger people. This is good spiritual energy to use. Then we see what we come as one spiritually to change. Well, I guess I'd say thank you, I think, Running Elk. Yes, in part.
Sound like Heyoka medicine when you think about it, right?
Yep, absolutely. And yes, some of those things I absolutely put up to trigger people, to hold up the mirror, including myself. I don't exempt myself from any of this. Some of it I know is just, it seems relatively small, but it's not. It's part of bigger things that have to change. That you're so right, Running Up. We have to come together spiritually to change. Here's one in the last week or so, the killing of that magnificent lion in Africa. That is, to me, it's a horrific event, but it's so much beyond that. This is about spirituality. This is about energy. And look what's happening over one incident like that. And so, yeah, I put those up. Politics, I'll put things up, and it doesn't have to do with politics. It has to do, again, with energy and spirit. Anyone to be spiritual has got to be liberal. And again, I'm not talking about politics. Ultra-conservatives cannot be spiritual because they're not in their hearts. People need to be liberal, which means they have to allow anything that happens and however it happens that doesn't hurt somebody else. And so, and we talked about some of this, I think, in yesterday's show. And so, yes, I do some of that Running Elk, thank you, and some I probably stupidly put up because I don't think about it. Other things I put up just for fun, and you'll see Sharon and I like doing these silly little quizzes, tell you, you know, you were a butterfly in a past life. But it's important to do those things and have a little bit of fun, too. And I've actually had people get mad at me because it's like, oh, there's so much to do. Why don't you just pay attention? Well, Sharon said it earlier. She's worked very hard for 3 years. I've worked very hard for a lot of years. It's important we have fun, too. So as we move ahead spiritually, we got to work fun into this. If we don't, we will, as Rebecca said earlier, we'll crash and burn. There'll be some burnouts. Over to you, Sharon, on this one.
Well, definitely, triggering is, again, it's working a lot of with mirrors. It's working a lot of letting that person see, what's inside of you, what's inside of him, what's inside, period. And I think once you work with mirrors, and it's really hard to reflect upon yourself, but you, but eventually it takes over and it comes naturally. And it, you know, it bites you in the ass. I'm sorry, but it is true. Whether you want it or not. And I remember that, Jim asked me in one point, like 3 years ago, he asked me, so what do you consider yourself to be? I mean, what are you? And I told him, I mean, I wanted to tell him so many things. I remember that conversation. It wasn't Skype. It was, you know, just Facebook, just clicking on the keyboard. But I remember that I told him that I wanted to tell him that I'm this and that, but it wouldn't be true thing to say. So I told him that that I'm a mirror holder, or I'm a mirror. I don't remember the exact words, but something with mirror. And you know, that made me realize that I reflect so much on so many people, but I wasn't ready to reflect upon myself, and it took me 3 years or so to do that. And we can never go back, even if we think that right now we lost our spirituality. We can never go back. I know that. It's really hard to be in the position of doubting yourself in everything that you do, doubting what you did in the past, you know, whatever years, months, time in the past. And to really reinvent yourself. I feel like there is a lot of burning that we need to do as you know, a collective energy, as all of us, but also individually, and you can always use other person's words or maybe things that person did to reflect on you, to look inside. And again, I think, like, I know that I've already said that, but the spiritual person will always expose himself or herself and look inside, no matter how painful that is. You can always find the pleasurable things, the medicine, in the pain, and of course in the most simple things, but you really need to open yourself up to do it. And I think, looking right now and myself, then my spirituality, that I feel like I lost my spirituality because I closed myself completely. I shut myself completely out of fear. Doesn't really matter. I'll continue to work on that. But I got to learn more about myself. And I still do. In the past, I don't know how many months and, of course, years, than my entire life. And that's a gift that it's not ours to own, but it's ours to share. And I think that's a gift that, you know, it's priceless. It's so priceless. And it's not about the satisfaction of it, but it's really about to open yourself up and to be able to live your life as it is, as you need to live them. And I think that's the best thing that you can get from spirituality. The other things like guiding and stuff, I mean, that's amazing. But once you're aware of yourself and once you're aware of what's going on inside of you, no matter how painful things are, then that's it. You got it. You got the whole thing. The rest of you know, of it, of the package, it's a bonus, really. I don't know if it makes sense, but it did for me anyway. Talking Sick is yours, Jim. I think we passed the hour like 20 minutes ago, but it's a good show.
I think we did. One of the grandfathers from Running Elks group said, there's a lot of wisdom in all the ones here today. He's honored to be a part of it. I think he's right. And again, that's the beauty of these shows that we all, and I mean all of us, are creating. Whoever comes needs to be there on that particular day, and whoever comes contributes. Even those who sit quietly and listen, they're putting their energy into this. And I can really, really, really feel that. And Roger had said, I think even our self-doubt is a big part of our individual spirit journey. No question about it. Janie said self-doubt and self-worth are things I've worked hard on. Yeah, I mean, self-doubt is a big thing. If you have self-doubt as you move ahead on this, it shows me that your ego's in balance. And again, ego's not a bad thing. It's when it gets out of balance. And so we always have self-doubt. Every time I do something, that's not true. Often when I do things, I have self-doubt. Like, why did I do that? Did I really want to do that? Could I have done it differently? Maybe I could have done it better. it kind of lets us look and expand and grow. And as Roger also says, spirituality is like enlightenment. It's a never-ending journey. Absolutely. All of the energetic parts of our being, which are the ones that matter, because we are energy, are a never-ending journey. And that's why the saying of it's all about the journey, not the destination. There is no destination. For our body, for our physical form, yes, there's a destination. It'll return to the Earth Mother in one way or another. But that means nothing to who and what we are, to our actual spiritual being. And I think that may be why it's just coming to me that you can't lose spirituality, because you can't lose your energetic being, and spirituality is part of it. You can choose to use it or not. You can choose to allow it to open and grow, or you can choose to try to shut it down, even if that blows you apart. But you can't lose something that's part of the essence of your being, the true essence, your energy, your spirit. Ooh, good stuff. Rod and Janie says, yep, continues even after we leave our physical body. Yeah, I mean, that's physical body is nothing. It's simply a receptacle while we're here. So we can function and operate in the physical plane. And, of course, we miss those who leave physically because we are connected to them. But we're only leaving them until the next go-around. Sharon's my spirit twin. That's been for 100 lifetimes that we know of. Sometimes I'm here and she's up there, sometimes vice versa. This time we're both here because it's so critical. And many of you, I mean, you all are in my circle. Therefore, it's critical that we're connected at this time here in the physical realm, but we're also obviously connected up in the spirit realm. So this is an ongoing process. It just so happens that this one right now, this particular life, is the most critical ever. And that's by all of the indigenous prophecies that I know of. Now, maybe there's some I don't know of that don't have that in it, but everyone I've ever learned about or had a teacher in, that's part of the prophecy right now. That and another big part of the prophecy is when you talk about spirituality, please make sure you have plenty of Kleenex on hand. Sure, Sharon.
Yeah, apparently I didn't bring a lot of Kleenex to this show, but maybe next time, you know, you always learn from the shows. I mean, even that. So thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been a pleasure to have you all of you here. And I'm sorry if I made some of you cry. We did. I'm really sorry about that, but hey, I mean, maybe it's for the best. There's a lot to sit with. I think for me, I would ask, from my perspective, I would ask for all of us not to use our heads so much and use more of our hearts and our spirituality to kind of like open ourselves a little bit more. I think it's not that we lose our spirituality, it's just we lose ourselves in our big, you know, in those thoughts that we have. And that can happen. And I hope that it is just, you know, it's that we won't give up. I think the most important thing is not to give up, it's to stay positive. It's to keep reminding yourself that this is part of what is going on. This is part of the changes. And even doubting yourself doesn't mean that it's the end of everything. You just need to continue the show, to continue everything. So, yeah, thank you anyway for being with us. Make sure that you go to our website, www.sotem.org. Check that out and donate if you can. We'll see you really soon. And until then, don't give up. That's the most important thing. Even if you think that you lost your spirituality, don't give up. It's not what you've lost, you can always find back. But it's not maybe about what you lose. anyway, have a good day, have a good week, and good night from Israel. See you again soon. Bye.